Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for your belief and your trust in us. What an important factor in deciding who to listen to today, and that's belief and trust. Thank you. Thank you for both. We do our best to bring the best quality program available to each and every one of you. Tonight we've got a fantastic program lined up for you. The first half hour, we're going to be going through some critical news items. The second segment, best-selling, number one New York Times best-selling author, political pundit, very familiar face, Dinesh D'Souza, will be on talking about his new book, The Big Lie. I have it right here. I read it. Oh, man, I'll tell you something. After reading that book, if anyone attempts to equate the right with fascism, historically or present day, man, wrong. And then following Dinesh D'Souza will be Steve Quayle and Tom Horn. Now, Steve Quayle and Tom Horn have some major news, and I want to thank Steve Quayle so much. If you go to stevequayle.com and look at his front page, and about four links down roughly from the top, he is very kind, and he asks people to support our show, and thank you for doing so. Those of you who are doing that, thank you for doing that. You know, we're in a time right now, and just from the heart, very quickly, we're in a time right now where we're fighting on multiple fronts. We're fighting censorship. We're fighting obscurity. I spoke to Dave Hodges today, and Dave Hodges is just, you know, he's at his wit's end. We are all fighting the battle to get the truth out and to be heard. It's one thing to be, it's one thing to have a broadcast, and to speak the truth, but it's another thing to have the truth heard. And here's the funny thing that, once again this morning I was watching the back end of our YouTube, specifically our YouTube channel, and I was watching comments disappear. I was watching, every time I would refresh, the thumbs up and thumbs down, those numbers would change faster than it would be humanly possible. It was so amazing. And then, of course, using search terms to find the most, to not find what you're looking for using Google, for example, or any of the affiliated search engines. So the censorship right now is really taking a front seat. And of course that goes into revenue, you know, the striking of the revenue. We are fully demonetized in terms of YouTube revenue, Google. And that is because, according to them, everyone from Pastor Langford to Steve Quayle to even Dinesh D'Souza, they're not advertiser friendly. Even the conversation we had with T.C. Joseph, not advertiser friendly. Hugh Clark, the JFK honor guard, not advertiser friendly. And the only reason I bring this up is not because woe is us. It's because woe will be all of us. And we're fighting this war of truth. And when Dinesh D'Souza comes on, I can only imagine, you know, what he went through, his imprisonment, what he went through personally and professionally. You got to look at the man and say, wow, you know, I think everyone pretty much knows his story. If you don't, you can research it. But the fact of the matter is we are smack dab deep, neck deep in an information war. And we really are. The headlines that Steve Quayle had posted 25 years ago, well, when the internet, I first noticed the internet and Steve Quayle's site, I think, around 2000, maybe a little earlier, 1998, 99. But those headlines, it doesn't matter if it was 16, 17, 18 years ago, the headlines he was posting are coming true today. It's reality today. And it's just amazing to see. Now, am I saying that because I didn't believe it was going to happen? No. No. I didn't believe it would happen this fast. So, in a way, it's an exciting time in which we live. But it's also a very perilous time. However, let me just add this. I had to take a walk today with my dog. You know how Steve Quayle says, I was in the shower and I was praying and, I took a walk with my dog. Cause what do you do? So I was walking with a lady, the studio dog, and, it hit me. The reality of the moment hit me. The reality of the times in which we live hit me. The people who are lost, morally and spiritually lost, hit me. The enormity, that the number of people who don't have that relationship with God. Man, I cannot imagine being able to survive in today's world without having that relationship, but that's just me. And believe me, not being a pastor, minister, and for crying out loud, not the best Christian at all. One that needs a whole lot of work. For me to realize that. And to realize, the enormity of it all. I can only imagine the weight that's on the shoulders of those who really are in tune and in prayer. People like, Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle and others. I just wanted to say that and get that off my chest. Because I put an article up at HomelandSecurityUS.com, and Steve is kind enough to link to it today. It's up at Canada Free Press if you want to comment on it. But we're getting reports. This was on, somebody else reported on this. I'm not sure who. I'm not sure if it was just a forum posting or whatever, but the information that's on this, the communist group out of Austin. There are, and this is one thing I didn't write, but I want to mention to you listening. There are a number of chapters like this across the United States. One in the East Coast that we're following very closely, literally following very closely. But I'm going to say these people are gearing up for battle. They're buying or they're otherwise acquiring semi-automatic weapons, body armor, loads of ammunition. And there was an article in 2005 in the St. Louis Dispatch, a Muslim shopkeeper warned of war in the streets and exploiting this kind of situation. I expect that to be part and parcel to this as well, this red-green alliance that we see forming. This will be part of it. So all of this combined, we do live in perilous times. So we have to be prepared physically, mentally, emotionally, but spiritually, most importantly, is spiritually. I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for airing our show. Great, great people, Global Star Radio Network. And we have two shows, additional shows beyond this show, mine in the morning from 9 to 10. You can hear that on Blog Talk Radio as well as Global Star. As a matter of fact, follow my show on Blog Talk Radio and follow Joe and John's show from 2 to 3 on Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network. And tweet the shows out. Let us know how you like them. Just send us an email. Say, hey, you know what? You could do better here, or you should investigate this, or have you heard about this? Chances are we've heard about many things that you're sending, but it's always good to kind of keep us in check. And somebody, I read a transcript yesterday. last night after the show of some of the comments, and somebody said, instead of independent media, honest media. I'm not sure who it was. It's the honest media, or honest news, or honest media. And I agree with that. I think that, that renaming this would be, as honest media would be certainly applicable. Portion of the last broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Have you gone there yet? Have you gone to Omaha Steaks and put HH in the search bar? When you do, when you go to omahasteaks.com and put HH in the search bar, let me tell you something. You'll be redirected to a page with the perfect business gift. That's right, perfect business gift. For under $60, you can either order this for yourself or send it to a business clientele, or it doesn't have to be business, a neighbor, a friend, a fellow associate, and they will love it, I guarantee you. More on that later. But again, omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. A number of different news items, of course. I heard, and I can't confirm this, have you heard, Joe, have you heard anything about Sheriff David Clark from Milwaukee? That he retired, or
no.
Is retiring, or quit, or something is taking place?
No. I have not. I thought I heard his name in the news, but I could not tell you what it is about.
All right. There's some murkiness with respect to the news, but we'll get to the bottom of that. And also, of course, there the chemical plant just outside of Katy, Texas, near Houston, because of the flooding. Some explosions or dangers of explosions. Just keep your eyes on that, and our prayers and prayers of support also go out to the victims of the flooding, and we are doing our best as well to support the efforts of Coach Dave Live, Salt and Light Brigade, as they are represent the boots on the ground and giving help directly to the people. So that's. But that's something. So we're doing something as well, not just praying, but actually doing something. I just want to make sure that's defined, so you know that we're doing our best to help those victims. The level of devastation in Houston is just beyond description. And 99.9% of the victims of the flooding are not insured for this kind of thing. And certainly that 0.1%, the act of God clause could certainly be invoked and the insurance companies would be off the hook. But think of think of yourself, the wedding pictures that you might have stored in the basement or something or your home. Or even the attic in some cases underwater. The loss. All of the memories, all of the irreplaceable things, of course. It's just amazing when you think about the devastation and the loss of animal and human life. I don't care if it's 5 or 50 or 500. I mean, it's going to take its toll. So we our prayers and our participation are with the people in Texas and Louisiana. Before we bring Dinesh D'Souza on, and he's scheduled to come on again at the bottom of the hour, the next segment. So, in his book, The Big Lie, it's explosive as far as I'm concerned, reading this book. This, to me, this is his magnum opus. I mean, he's written Hillary's America, America and Obama's America, but this really strikes at the very issues that we're seeing today with the calls of being racist and Nazi supporters on the right. Oh, come on. I saw on his Twitter feed, somebody said, well, what's the big lie? Well, the big lie is that conservatives and the president, President Donald Trump in particular, are fascists. We're fascists. Nazis, even. In a typical comment, MSNBC host Rachel Maddow says that the Trump era is reminiscent of what it was like when Hitler first became chancellor. Really? That's the big lie, but in fact, this audacious lie is a complete inversion of the truth. Yeah, there's a fascist threat in America, all right, but the threat's from the left and from the Democratic Party. That's the truth, and he's going to be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. But I did put up the article that I put up today about the red group in Austin, the communist group in Austin, the very pro-communist group in Austin, is applicable. Other chapters are opening up across the country. And just as soon as we are, that we know about, I can tell you one right now is in southern Philadelphia. We have our investigative resources on that. And as soon as I can, once cleared through local law enforcement, we'll let you know what we find there. But there's, I would not dismiss this threat lightly. So that's what's on our radar, my radar in particular. And, I just want everyone to really kind of pay attention. And people will say, well, these are just snowflakes. These are kids in their, you know, from just crawling out of their parents' basements. But there's a level of coordination coming from the top. And I wrote about exactly where this is coming from. This is the George Soros, strategy. And I want to thank Peter Berichalka. Just always on top of things. Man, I'll tell you, Peter, I don't know how you do it, but thanks. Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, one of the highest profile members of law enforcement to emerge as a vocal supporter of President Donald Trump, resigned from his position today. Now, County Clerk George Christensen said that he received a resignation letter from Clark, but that no reason for the move was provided. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what transpires and what evolves from that. So there you have it. Sheriff Clark issued a retirement statement to local media just hours after his resignation was announced. And here's what he wrote and provided to the media. After almost 40 years serving the great people of Milwaukee County, I have chosen to retire to pursue other opportunities. I will have news about my next steps in the very near future. And I've got some good feelings about this. So, congratulations on your retirement. Well deserved, Sheriff Clark, but I do know you're going to come in hot on some other endeavor, some other initiative. And thank you, Peter Berichalka, for that as well. The Awan brothers, Imran Awan, Abid Awan, just a reference to this, we're getting close to some judicial action on this, some things that will be taking place here in the next couple of weeks. I would suggest, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a special program just on the extent of the Awan infiltration, it's the Islamic Pakistani infiltration in Congress, but it's also being facilitated by the communists. So you've got the Pakistani nationals that have infiltrated the IT network, and Luke Rosiak was on Sean Hannity last night, only for about 90 seconds. But what he disclosed and what he found, and this is kind of interesting because I was pulling up court records as well, and I never saw this. I did not notice this on one of the court documents where Imran Awan had listed his email address as 123@house.gov or something very similar to that. 123@mail.house.gov. And that email address up through the reporting by Luke Rosiak was still active. And so there are backdoors all over the place. And I've gotten other information we're trying to evaluate and assess. Is there something more with respect to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Imran Awan? And that's, of course, perhaps some sort of romantic tryst there. And we don't need to hype it up. It really doesn't matter. The fact that Imran Awan, Abid, and the entire cabal of the Pakistani nationals having infiltrated the Congress is something that we really, you have to take a second and third look at, because over, 80 Democratic congressmen and women have been affected over the last 12 years. You have three high-level intelligence committees that are involved. You've got Imran Awan and his brother and others involved in multiple businesses somewhere around 12 homes, 20 businesses. And the indictment that was issued against Imran, talking about just one case, one instance of more loan or money laundering or money fraud, financial fraud. It's so much more than that. Again, 12 homes, over 20 businesses, including car dealerships. This is bigger than anything that we've ever seen, we've seen in modern times. And at the epicenter of this, you've got Debbie Wasserman Schultz acting as a U.S. House of member of the House of Representatives, but you also have her acting in the capacity as the head of the DNC until the day she wasn't, which was the day before the convention last year. So you've got a double exposure there. And then you've got the Awans, that criminal cabal, my words now, this alleged criminal cabal, that are operating as well a business that involves repairing and also replacing and selling of equipment, of electronic equipment such as routers and modems and hard drives. And the scam that they perpetrated against the House. So you've got equipment inside the House of Representatives, I suspect, along with George Webb and others, based on my investigation and Mr. Webb's investigation and Mr. Rosiak's investigation, I do suspect that you've got hardwired backdoors as well as software backdoors built into the communication system inside the House of Representatives and three high-level agencies. From the Department of Homeland Security, or the House Intelligence Committee and Foreign Affairs Committee, to the Homeland the Homeland Security Committee. Yet the media is not covering this. The corporate mass media is not covering this. Again, Sean Hannity had Luke Rosiak on yesterday to discuss this and his findings, and Mr. Rosiak's doing a heck of a job getting into the meat of the matter, but this extends far beyond anything you've heard. There, based on everything I've seen, there is complicity by the CIA as well in this case. When I say complicity, I'm talking about facilitators within the intelligence community operating in conjunction with, in tandem with, some of the called proprietaries, businesses that were established outside of the purview of the normal intelligence operation. And Kevin Shipp is going to be with us tomorrow night talking about that as well. Be sure to tune in tomorrow night to Kevin Shipp. So we're seeing this not just a mere compromise, a small compromise, but a huge one. This investigation could go on and on and on. Now you've got, and I mentioned this morning, you've got Robert Mueller, instead of investigating what he should be investigating, he shouldn't be investigating anything, but if you're going to have an independent counsel, it would be directed, in my view, elsewhere. But Robert Mueller, of course, is, after doing what he did to Paul Manafort, sending a SWAT team essentially into Paul Manafort's home, rousing his wife and him out of bed in a pre-dawn raid, and taking files that were never requested to begin with. I mean, this is what Paul Manafort went through at the direction of Robert Mueller. It's an intimidation tactic. So having said that, the playing for keeps by Mueller, with the, I'm sure, assistance and information being provided or having been provided and still perhaps being provided by James Comey and even Andrew McCabe at this point, they're going after Donald Trump in a big way. And I do believe that unless stopped, they will have, especially through the grand jury system, they will be able to indict Donald Trump. Now think about that. Or at least have and I'm not sure, I can't remember, is it a presentment or an indictment? State or federal grand juries, whichever one. a federal grand jury. It's been a while. But regardless, their intent is to take Donald Trump down. And they're using his friends and family as, they're squeezing his friends and family, family especially, friends specifically, and associates as well to get at Donald Trump. We're seeing this happen with the complicity of the captured corporate mass media, the lying media, the fake news. So this is the world in which we live. This is where we find ourselves today. Dinesh D'Souza coming up here next segment talking about the big lie. What is the big lie? The big lie is that Antifa, or they're fighting fascists, when in fact they are the fascists. The worst case of transference I've ever seen, that's for sure. That's a psychiatry term. But certainly, Dinesh D'Souza is going to be on to explain his new book and the concepts which he has outlined. And so it's a wonderful book, too. 9 chapters. And the final chapter, titled Denazification. We need that. Folks, we're going to be right back with Dinesh D'Souza. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of 3 families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. We've got a special treat for you right now. You know, one of my favorite authors is, well, more than an author, one of my favorite political commentators, a great mind, certainly a brilliant mind, and a man who has seen so much through, has experienced so much in the political arena, in the swamp, so to speak, or perhaps because of it, is Dinesh D'Souza. He's got a new book out called The Big Lie. It's right here, as a matter of fact, and I've read his book, and it's a fantastic book. And in fact, The Big Lie is an explosive new book that he's written. He's the author of the number one Times bestsellers, Hillary's America, America, and Obama's America. So what is the big lie of the Democratic Party, you might ask? That conservatives, and President Donald Trump in particular, are fascists. They're Nazis, even. In a typical comment, and I mentioned this earlier in the first segment, MSNBC host Rachel Maddow says that the Trump era is reminiscent of what it was like when Hitler first became chancellor. Talk about having being historic or being bankrupt in terms of knowledge of history. But, in fact, this is an audacious lie. It's a complete inversion of the truth. Yes, there is a fascist threat in America, but that threat is from the left and from the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party itself. The Democratic left has an ideology virtually identical with fascism and routinely borrows tactics of intimidation and political terror from the Nazi brown shirts. So true. And to cover up the insidious fascist agenda, Democrats loudly accuse President Trump and his supporters, other Republicans, of being Nazis. You see it in the video clips of people in the street, which is an obvious lie, considering that the GOP has been fighting the Democrats over slavery, genocide, racism, and fascism from the beginning. So pleased right now to have with us author, political commentator, and just a heck of a great guy, Dinesh D'Souza. Mr. D'Souza, thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, it's great to be on the show.
Oh, man, it's great to have you. So this new book, really, I think is your, to me anyway, is the magnum opus, and it's so relevant, your magnum opus, and so relevant to today's events. I introduced The Big Lie, what it is, and I saw on your Twitter feed somebody said, well, what is it? And you spell it out for him. We're seeing this play out. We're seeing this big lie being perpetrated by the corporate mass media, by the mainstream media, at least majority of it. And is that what propelled you to write this book? I mean, your observations combined with the media's proclamations?
Well, I try to write books that are both contemporary in their thrust, but that are anchored in some kind of a deeper historical or philosophical argument. And although the charge that Trump is a fascist and the GOP is the neo-Nazi party, all of that has obviously been at fever pitch since the election, the notion that fascism and Nazism are on the right, that they are somehow right-wing phenomena, that predates Trump. That actually goes back to World War II and the aftermath of the war, in which the progressives who were coming to power in the academy and the media, they knew that fascism was on the left. They knew that Nazism was on the left. But they also knew that fascism and Nazism had been completely discredited. And so they said, hey, let's cover all this up. Let's try to move these ideologies from the left-wing column into the right-wing column so that from now on we can accuse Republicans, Christians, patriots, conservatives. We can stick the fascist tail, if you will, on the Republican elephant.
Very interesting. And I learned, by the way, I learned a lot from reading your book from history. I mean, I learned a lot of history, or relative to history, especially on your chapter of Mussolini and the Democrats under FDR, for example. Now, you wrote here, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, that socialism, fascism, and progressivism are three similar, not identical, forms of leftism. Fascism lives on through American progressivism. And I thought that was fascinating. So, in that context, what we're seeing today, really.
Yeah, part of what I was getting at was that that if you draw a kind of a left-right spectrum, then on the left side of the spectrum, you have the people who want the centralized state. And that would include socialists, communists, progressives, and fascists. And on the right end of the spectrum, you have people who want individual rights and limited government. The other day I heard that Bernie Sanders railing about right-wing extremists, and I thought to myself, well, who's a right-wing extremist? Well, a right-wing extremist is somebody who wants the government to be so small, so infinitesimal, that it would virtually not exist at all. So a right-wing extremist would be an anarchist.
Okay. Which, okay. And we don't, I mean, the anarchists, they're non-existent as far as I've been able to tell on the right, obviously. Does that fit the left or the definition for the left? An anarchist would, help me out with this, because now when you say anarchist, that applies to the left, though, the progressive.
Well, you know, some of these Antifa guys, Antifa, of course, standing for anti-fascist, they call themselves anarchists, and it's true that they're willing to break laws, and they're willing to ignore laws, and they're willing to disrupt lawful events, and they're willing to disrupt Trump's lawful election. But at the end of the day, they're not really anarchists. At the end of the day, they're collectivists. Because if you ask these anarchists, Antifa guys, what at the end of the day do you want? Well, they want the powerful centralized state to use its power to intimidate and coerce citizens into line. They ultimately want what the Nazis wanted. The Nazis called it Gleichschaltung, which is it means coordination, bringing all sectors of society into line with the ideological priorities of Nazism. In America, we call it political correctness, but the left uses the same thing. They use the media, they use academia, the studio bosses in Hollywood, trying to force people into ideological conformity.
Got it. And they're doing so, I think, very, very well. I think that the, and I mentioned transference earlier. You talked about that in your book. You know, the Democratic Party certainly were the progressives at this point, using transference. You make a great case there as well. You also write that fascism at its core is the construction of the all-powerful Leviathan state. And this is collectivism by definition, then, correct?
Well, Mussolini was the founder of fascism, not Hitler. In fact, Mussolini started the world's first fascist regime in 1922, and that was more than a decade before Hitler came to power. So Mussolini puts it very well. He basically says fascism means everything in the state and nothing outside the state. And for Mussolini, the state is kind of like a single living organism, and every individual is a cell within that organism. So the cell has no value unto itself. It has no rights. Its only value is what it contributes to the collective, to the state as a whole. Now look, that obviously doesn't sound like the platform of the Republican Party. In fact, it closely mirrors the vision of the Democratic Party, and that's why fascism belongs squarely on the left.
Understood. Now, one question I had as I watched these thugs, these Antifa thugs, or those who identify with Antifa and their offshoots and their comrades, do you think or do they believe, what do they believe? I mean, do they actually believe in what that they're fighting fascism? Have they been that far gone brainwashed that they believe and they've got no concept of history, or is this something different than what we're saying?
Well, a lot of these guys I think many of them are deluded. They're mindless. I know that at Berkeley, the conservative students tell me that one way that the Antifa movement is hounding speakers off campus is they just go down to Oakland and they get all these gangs to come onto campus. They give them these Antifa signs. These are just social misfits and people who want to cause trouble or get into a fight. So, you know, I think to me, that's the fascism on the street. Now, more dangerous is the fascism of the institution. So, for example, this guy, Jesse Aragon, who's the mayor of Berkeley, he's a member of one of the Antifa Facebook groups. He was apparently the guy who asked the cops to stand down to, quote, give Antifa room to maneuver, i.e. to beat people up. So I'm much more worried about the fascism of people who have badges, who have authority, who are in the university or in the media or in the police or in political positions of power. The fascism of the institutions is more dangerous than the fascism of the street.
And ultimately, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I see this academia, the infiltration of academia. And I look at this, and I think we talked about this last time. Is what we're seeing in terms of the academia, is that the fulfillment of years upon years of infiltration? Are we seeing the Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers of yesteryear marching on the streets, now filling the seats of our universities and pumping this out? Or is it even worse than that?
Well, part of it is the radical takeover of the universities, and conservatives have been very naive. I mean, focusing almost exclusively on political elections and not recognizing that while this is going on, the left has captured many of the big megaphones of our culture, not just academia, but also the public schools, the media, the whole field of entertainment, not just Hollywood, but Broadway, the music industry, the world of comedy, and so on. So, yes, I think that this has now become a very serious problem. And also the left has an ability to take its thugs and make them into martyrs. By the way, the Nazis did that too. There was a Nazi brown shirt named Horst Wessel, who was essentially known for beating up people and getting into bloody fights. But when he was killed by a communist, the Nazis wrote a song to him, the Horst Wessel song, which became kind of the Nazi party anthem. And similarly, I see in America and in the West, how thugs like Che Guevara or Bill Ayers, who's part of the Weather Underground, somehow these guys are transmuted from violent thugs into ideological martyrs and heroes.
Interesting. All right. One thing I do like about your book, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I know we're limited on time here, and you're so kind to give us your time this evening, because I do know that you're extremely busy. One of the things I really love about this is you actually show us how to deconstruct or denazify. You've got a chapter of denazification, for example, and you give examples on how we can fight back, getting rid of Obamacare, for example, repealing Obamacare and the Dodd-Frank Act and other things. Can we overcome? Oh, I suppose we can, but do you think, will we overcome the threat that we face, the peril to our republic that we face?
Well, certainly, I think we can, and I hope that we will. And I think that the more that we put ourselves to the wheel and use our influence, the better it's going to be. I've been a writer and speaker for most of my career, but I've pivoted now to also making movies. Why? Because a book can be read by 100, maybe 200,000 people, and that's a lot. But a movie is going to be seen by 3 to 5 to 10 million people. That's just a completely different level of influence. Similarly, for the ordinary guy in your, you know, sitting at home, you think, well, gee, what can I do? I only have 50 friends on Facebook. Well, yeah, but those guys have 50 friends on Facebook. So you have a kind of an ability to multiply your influence if you actually exercise it. So I urge people to be informed. I think if they read my book, they'll become what I call a very dangerous American, because you'll be able to, in a sense, take away not only the race card, but the fascism card from the left.
And that's a very important thing, because many, many commentators will come on the air or come on, go on programs and explain the problem, but not really provide solutions. Now, you provide solutions, but also the method of getting the solutions to the people, which I think is fabulous. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left, I think. What about the book are you most, I want to say, proud of? Because when I was reading this book, the amount of research I went into this, I think that you've done, and the amount of notes, my goodness. But, is it the historical part? Is it the current part, the interfacing there? Or is it, if you were going to sell this book to the American public, and I know that sounds like a cheesy question, but what were you most fascinated or most proud of with respect to your book, this book?
Well, I think that my strength in both as a scholar and as a writer is to take ideas that are very somewhat complex, somewhat dense, but not only apply them to the world that we live in now, but explain them in a manner that anyone who, even if you know nothing about the subject, but you're moderately intelligent and you're willing to read carefully, you can learn a great deal. Now, when I began this book, I didn't know a lot of the stuff that's in the book. I began by tracing some parallels between things that were going on the left and in the Democratic Party here and over in Europe with the fascists and the Nazis. So, for example, I noticed the great similarity between, say, the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazi brown shirts. Notice that both are groups that love to wear, you know, elaborate costumes. Both of them practice terror and intimidation. Both of them pick on racial minorities. In the case of the Klan, of course, blacks. In the case of the brown shirts, it was Jews. And both are paramilitary organizations that are part of an official political party. The Klan was essentially an arm of the Democratic Party, and the brown shirts were an arm of the Nazi Party. So I knew about those parallels, but what I didn't know is the degree to which there was a sort of almost intimate, in bed connection between American progressives and Democrats on the one side and the Italian fascists and the German National Socialists on the other. These people were communicating, they were praising each other, they were reviewing each other's books. FDR was a huge fan of Mussolini. Mussolini revered FDR. All kinds of American progressives praised Hitler. So that's the mind-blowing part of this book, is that for most people, even educated people, you'd never know any of this. You'll never find it in a textbook. And yet nothing that I'm saying is even controversial in the sense that this is my opinion versus somebody else's opinion. I'm relying on irrefutable facts of history, mainstream scholarship, and so far no one has questioned, let alone refuted, a single fact in this book.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I just have to take a minute and tell you this is funny, because when you made the connection between, or you referenced in the chapter, I believe it was Mussolini's journey, or it was either chapter 3 or 4. I actually went, and I've got an old set of encyclopedias. So instead of going to your notes, which I ultimately did, I went to the encyclopedias, read about Mussolini, read about FDR, and there was virtually nothing there with respect to that relationship, that admiration. And how you found that, and of course substantiating through your footnotes and your endnotes, it was just amazing. So yeah, I gotta tell you, man, I was blown away by that. And I don't think most people really have a clue about any of this, or half of this that's in the book.
I mean, think about it. Here you've got the Nazis in 1935. They're drafting the Nuremberg Laws, which turn, you know, Jews into second class citizens. They segregate Jews into ghettos. They prohibit intermarriage between Jews and other Germans. Later, they involve the confiscation of Jewish property. So the Nazis who are drafting these notorious laws, what do they have in their hands? They have the blueprints of democratic laws of segregation in the American South. And they realize that the Democrats are doing the same thing. They're segregating blacks. They're prohibiting intermarriage. They have state-sponsored discrimination. They have racial terrorism. And so the Nazis go, great, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just take these democratic laws, we'll cross out the word black, we'll write in the word Jew, and we're off to the races. So I show in the book that there aren't just similarities. The Nazis are actually drawing on Democratic Party laws in the American South to draft up their own nefarious schemes.
And that is such a mind-blowing concept, really. And I'm wondering how many liberal, progressive anchors, commentators, heads are going to explode over.
I got to tell you, this is why, I mean, since the election, all these people from Van Jones to Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, Bill Maher, they've all been bloviating about fascism. Trump's a fascist. These people don't know what they're talking about. Now that I've written a book and they can see chillingly that I've got the goods on them, they won't have me on their shows, because in 10 seconds I would make them out to be complete fools. And they know that. And so they've all gone running into their rabbit holes, and they've all gone dead silent on me. And this is really, you could call it, the intellectual abdication of the American left. At one time, this was a smart group of people, but it's very difficult to say that today.
You know, you make an important point there, because what we're seeing in terms of the Rachel Maddows, as an example, and at that level of political commentator, they are like an inch deep and a mile wide when it comes to the intellectual discussions. So indeed, you would just bury them with the facts that they couldn't handle. So yeah, I it's no surprise to me why they wouldn't take you on head to head. I'm sure you could bury them. Now you've got one thing I want to do before time runs out. Your website, The Big Lie, the book. I'm just not sure where I have it here. The website for the book, where you can get a signed copy.
BigLieBook.com or my website, which is just DineshDeSouza.com, or just Google the book. It's available everywhere, not just in Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but also like in Walmart and Costco, and you can also get it as an audio book.
Okay.
It's available everywhere.
Yeah, and DineshDeSouza.com, right on the top menu where it says Home Bio News. Book is right there.
Yeah, but I want to get a signed copy. I think you had them. I think the signed copies were on that one, the book, BigLieBook.com. Anyway, you can get a signed copy there, correct? I think.
Yes.
All right. That's what I want. All right. Perfect. And I would urge everyone to do that. Signed copies are great. And of course, all formats of the book as well. One last question here before we cut you loose. Your other books still relevant today? Hillary's America, anything new? I mean, how are they going, and anything new in those arenas?
You know, it's funny because we're obviously not living in Hillary's America, and yet Hillary's America, both the book and the movie, remain very relevant because they're also the secret history of the Democratic Party. The Hillary movie, for example, is 70% not about Hillary. It's about the Democratic Party, and it excavates a whole history. So I would say that just as this new book, The Big Lie, blows up the fascism card that the left has been trying to play on Trump and on the right, the Hillary book blows up the racism card. And really, those are the two most powerful cards that the left has. I'm pretty convinced that if we take away those two cards, these people will be reduced to kind of a writhing, blubbering mess. They don't have a whole lot else left.
And you've done a great job, certainly, of exposing the big plural lies in that regard. But your new book, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left, number one. I mean, this is a fantastic book. And, of course, from number one New York Times bestselling author, Dinesh D'Souza. We're up against here shortly the network break. I just want to say thank you so much for your gracious gift of time for coming on tonight. And please keep us posted as you progress with other works, and let us know how the book is going. Appreciate it.
I will do so. And thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your patriotism and for your truth-telling. Wow. Okay, we're up against the network break here very shortly. That was Dinesh D'Souza, the author of The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. And I've got to tell you, folks, I learned some things in that. As Dinesh D'Souza said, there are some things that he had to look up. But when I think the biggest thing for me, I feel like Columbo now, you know? Remember Columbo? But one more thing. I feel like the biggest thing for me was what he was explaining about FDR, about how history has been revised and falsified. Not that the fact it was, not even to the degree that it was, but the way it was with FDR, Mussolini, Hitler, and flipping the entire narrative against the conservatives. Now, not the European conservatives, but the conservatives here in this country. Oh, man. He makes a great case. His book as far as I'm concerned, is highly regarded. It's one enlightening read. Now, he mentioned a German word in there. I cannot pronounce that. I took 3 years of German 45 years ago. I wouldn't do it justice. But it was, go back and listen, and that word in there plays an important part in what we're seeing today, as well as the German phrase I mentioned yesterday, both on my radio program and on last night's show. But we're seeing this movement, this anti-fascist / fascist movement play an important role right now. And I do believe, in closing my segment out here, I do believe, folks, that we are up against a civil war. I believe that left unchecked, the thugs that are out there that are falling for the lie. This is just me from seeing the Red Group Boston, as I mentioned before, the communist group, you know, that fist in the air, the offshoots of RevCom and Antifa, of which are part of a collective group of organizations funded by Soros. And we're going to be talking about this tomorrow night with Kevin Shipp. But when you look at why Obama has not left D.C. and the organization that he's got and the organization that acts as an umbrella group over these other groups through funding and the funneling, it's not one degree of separation. You're not going to find a direct line between Obama's Organizing for America, Organizing for Action, that is, and Antifa. It's not going to be a direct line. There's going to be seven or eight steps in between. Now, the steps get shorter when you talk about people like Van Jones and David Brock and other people like that, in my personal opinion. However, these groups are arming themselves and preparing for armed conflict in the streets of America today. This is what we're finding out, both on the ground as well as from sources, and we're verifying it as well through the open source intelligence.
Have you heard about the November 4th Antifa?
Yes.
Black Bloc, Black Lives Matter. Yep. Riots in all cities as they want to try to oust Trump.
You know, yes.
That's just one of many dates that they have set up to try to do this.
Yeah. Yes. And we're going to be following that closely. They had several. In fact, they had a couple of dates in August that didn't fly. But, okay.
Well, folks, when we come back, we're going to have Tom Horn as well as Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Folks, go to the write-up page. Go to HagmanReport.com. There you can check out what John Robertson put together as far as what's going to be talked about on the show. Links to both Steve Quayle and Tom Horn's site, as well as information on the Branson conference that is upcoming. Live streaming is still available. And if you get a chance to go there, that's awesome. Tickets are sold out. If you want to attend but can't because tickets are sold out, well, do it virtually. Go there and get the live stream streaming. As time is running out, the event will be here before you know it. Peter Chalker wrote an article today on Hagman Report, which is Vile Kathy Griffin is back, thanks to the news, basically the news media, and he's got a new one. Is this the future of Fox News? Where he points out the personnel change that was just conducted, and we'll get more into we'll touch on that on the other side when we come back before we bring Steve and Tom Horn on. Don't go anywhere.
And it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.